welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Sharad Choli, Chief Scientist and Co-Founder of Expedera. Sharad is an expert in AI frameworks, powerware, and programmable data flow architectures. Prior to founding Expedera, Sharad worked in hardware and software engineering roles at Cisco, Memoir Systems, and Microsoft. Welcome to the podcast, Sharad.
Thank you, Dan. Happy to be here.
So before we get started with the edge AI discussion, tell us how you first came to semiconductors. I know you're a software person, but now you do semiconductor design. So what brought you to semiconductors, and specifically, you know, what brought you to Expedera?
So to be honest, I come from software background, and I did not, when I entered semiconductors, I did not know how difficult it would be. I started to get feeling of semiconductors in my previous, before Cisco, we are building algorithmic memory solutions. So this is taking the existing memory components and accelerating those memories to get better performance or better port capacity. And I was building compiler using existing Verilog block. So the job of the compiler was to emit Verilog. And that's where I started to get into semiconductors. And my hands-on experience with building ASICs and shipping ASICs was in Cisco, where we designed packet buffers with garbage collection. So every cycle, we could use techniques where packets can be moved, the buffers can be reorganized and shrunk or expanded. And that was one of the most complex projects I have worked on, including both software and hardware.
Interesting. So why specifically did you co-found Expedera?
I think my co-founder might have different answers here, but for me, I was always interested in AI. I was always had impression that semiconductor is a way for AI to move forward and to be adopted in a widespread fashion. And I still believe that. I still think that's still the truth, that hardware is a limiting factor on what can be deployed in AI. It's not the algorithms. It's not the technology in a neural networks or frameworks or data science sense. It's still the hardware is still the limiting factor, and that's where we wanted to enable the next generation of applications.
I agree with you. I've been telling people on SemiWiki for a few years now that AI is going to drive semiconductor manufacturing because it will never have enough power. AI will always want more power performance, and we're just going to have to keep building faster and faster chips, and it will just never stop. And that's good for the semiconductor industry, of course. AI remains a hot topic in the semiconductor world. It has for quite a few years. As edge AI is finally making its way into mainstream hardware like smartphones, headphones, doorbells, etc., to enable this, processors are incorporating hardware AI accelerators, which must meet every ever increasing cost and bandwidth and power consumption constraints, while still delivering high performance. And so, in this podcast, let's talk about the start of AI on the edge, and the software, and how novel AI architectures can provide significantly better performance and efficiency. So, first, what is meant by edge in your view?
So to simply put, anything that is not data center or cloud can be thought of as edge. It can be headsets, it can be doorbell, it can be handheld devices, your laptop, even edge servers. It can be like automotive cars with L2 or L3 plus ADAS systems, robotics control systems. So any of these components can be thought of as edge. And they are different from data center or cloud by notion of connectivity, latency, and computational capacity.
So what applications are using neural networks in the edge?
If I take a broad generalization approach of like categorizing the application, they fall into two categories. One is perception, and another one is enhancement. So perception is basically understanding the environment, and this is important for like any kind of observation or any kind of control subsystem where the interaction is enabled through understanding of the sensor data. So for example, gesture recognition, recognizing events, recognizing if there is a movement in the scene and what the movement is categorized as, audio recognition. So any natural language processing or any communication, audio communication with the systems, all these things fall under perception category, right? And perception is also a backbone of control subsystems like automotive or robotics. The other category is enhancement. So enhancement is somewhere where a user experience should be enriched. And this is you're recording a video and you can process the video stream in a fashion that the colors are enhanced, or you can try to do low light video noise reduction. There is also an example of like set-top boxes or TVs or displays where low resolution input can be super resolution, or while playing a game, a super resolution can be applied on the rendered output of a GPU. And that gives higher resolution performance with like the same number of frames per second. So these are the categories of applications that I see that are really pushing the edge forward in terms of both what resolution needs to be processed as well as how much computation needs to be done and what kind of applications are built.
I agree. How are these neural networks typically optimized today? And you know, are there better ways? How are we going to be doing this tomorrow?
The neural network has, the field has been growing very rapidly over the last 8 to 10 years. Like it started with 2012 from with AlexNet, and since then we have seen various neural network architectures and various techniques to optimize the neural networks. And one of the technique is algorithmic optimization, where we are taking the neural network and decomposing the layers of the neural network into similar functions. So mobile net, for example, is tailored towards mobile deployments. We have decomposition as another example of taking a 7x7 kernel and breaking into 1x7 and 7x1 kernels. This technique is taking the neural network structure and breaking into similar functions, but which would require a smaller computational and memory requirements. The other techniques that we see are precision scaling. So we all know that neural networks are trained in floating point 32 format, and that's a very high precision for actually doing the inference. So it's usually neural networks work well even in floating point 16 format. And quantization is another technique where we can take the floating point computation and map it on integer domain. So we use integer computation as a way to simulate the floating point arithmetic. And just doing the quantization, it significantly saves the amount of area and amount of power that is required for matrix multiplications and convolutional operations, because these are the primary drivers of the computations in the neural networks. Third things we see is sparsity and pruning-based approach, where we have a neural network definition, but we are fine-tuning the neural network by removing the redundant computation or by trying to reduce the amount of parameters that can exist. And these are different approaches that currently exist. Going forward, I would say that like mixed precision quantization would be a one thing that would gain significant traction, because that allows trading off performance with accuracy. There is also a notion of how the structure of the neural network can change. So we see that the most of the neural network, the diversity of the layers are slowly increasing. We already have transformer being used in vision related tasks like vision transformers, and these needs to be embedded on the edge. They need to be somehow distilled down so that they can fit into the power and performance envelope for the market segment that you're trying. And we would for such cases, the techniques would be distillation or student teacher training for shrinking the model to a smaller size.
Okay. So why is the current optimization techniques, why is soft optimization still not enough?
I think it's the easy answer to that is the computational demand from neural network is far outpacing Moore's law. And I know I'm yet another person saying the same thing, but the demand for accuracy, the demand for deploying multiple neural networks in a single application in a pipeline fashion, and the increasing resolution at the input is actually have an exponential demand in terms of what computation is required. So we already see even handheld devices like cell phones have 25 TOPS worth of performance. And that's going to keep on increasing. And the applications, the sensors, the resolution, the native resolution of the sensors will also increase in terms of what is from HD to 4K to 8K. And this all adds up to increasing computational demand. And just the soft optimizations are not enough. Like if the application requires one inference every second, it might can just run on CPU with the soft optimization. But if there is any real-time performance requirement where you need guaranteed latency, you need consistent throughput, if there is a power limitation in terms of thermal or battery life, you have to you have to go to specialized compute architectures, because the general purpose compute architectures will not satisfy the constraint that edge that deployment has put in.
Yeah, I got it. So how are the hardware vendors today trying to solve this problem?
Some of the architectural solutions started with just taking the existing blocks like CPUs or DSPs and then just scaling it to multi-cores. So take a block and replicate it multiple times. And doing this is easy because the software stack already exists. The problem is as soon as you go to multiple cores, you have a complexity of managing the workload distribution, reducing the results, synchronization, and coherency. And that causes significant overhead in terms of data movement in both power and the area required for achieving utilization. The other approach we see is a layer-based approach where entire layer is offloaded to a specialized computational block, for example, systolic arrays. So you see a matrix multiplication layer in neural network and the compiler can offload it to a systolic array. And this approach, though it's easy, though it's enabled just in time compilation, it has its own limitation. It requires the entire input and the output of the layer to be present in the on-chip memory. So the on-chip memory becomes bottleneck, as well as the utilization is limited only by the neural network structure. So if the neural network structure doesn't allow parallelism, then you cannot parallelly utilize the resources. The third approach we see is analog computing or in-memory computation. And here, the objective is to optimize for weight movements. So the architectures are weight stationary, and the activations are streamed through different blocks as they are generated. The limitation of this architecture is as we scale the input resolution, the weights become a smaller part of the puzzle, as activations scale linearly with input resolution. So the intermediate data that is being generated causes the overhead, and these architectures has limitations in terms of how these intermediate activations can be optimized and handled.
Interesting. So let's talk about Expedera. What's unique about how you guys solve this problem?
So at Expedera, me and my co-founders, we came from a background of computer networking. And it's basically in Cisco, we worked on high-speed networking, building data center switches. And the requirement in data center switches is every cycle, a decision needs to be made on packet routing. So, and that decision is a very complex decision. We need to look at like 70 different tables. We need to make sure the byte list and forwarding policies are handled. So this entire complex decision process is implemented in deeply pipelined fashion. And it guarantees that every cycle a packet is present at the output port. So there is this deterministic guarantee that is provided just by the notion of the architecture. And we try to take that approach and apply it to the computation. So we started by building a computational block where the input data is present at every cycle. And so that computational block can be effectively utilized at every cycle. And we implemented this in a deeply pipelined fashion. So the overhead of operands and overhead of results is minimized in terms of power and performance. So when we take this look at this from a higher level perspective, we still have to look at how we schedule the workload on top of this architectural blocks. So in Expeditors architecture, we basically have five different blocks, and these blocks can be scaled independent of each other. But the question still remains is how do we schedule or take a neural network and schedule the computation on top of these blocks? And that's where we came with the notion of packet. So a packet is basically a fragment of a neural network layer. And that fragment can be scheduled in a deterministic fashion. So the hardware can execute the packet in a deterministic fashion. And by utilizing this fact, the entire neural network can be effectively deployed while achieving higher utilization.
Got it. Well, that's great. Great conversation. It's a pleasure to meet you. You can reach Expedera at their website, expedera.com. You can also read about Expedera on SemiWiki. Thank you again, Sharad, and thank you everybody for listening in, and we'll speak with you again next week.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks for having me. It was great talking to you. Thank you.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.